Current events.
Cutting edge.
Faith.
It's awesome.
Encouragement on the go.
It's the SOS Radio Podcast.
All right, I got good news and I got bad news about your kids. I'm Scott Harold on SOS Radio. The good news is there isn't a parent alive that hasn't had their teenage kid come to them and say, I don't want to go to church, or I just don't like church, or I don't want to get up, I don't fit in there. Every single parent has dealt with that, so you're not the only one. That's the good news. The bad news is, as a parent, you are accountable for shepherding your child. And I know your kids don't want that sometimes. They don't think they want that sometimes, but you know what? We're called to train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. That's what the Bible says. And oh, the bad news is it's hard, because strategy on how you do that is rough. We were just talking to Mark Hall from Casting Crowns. I don't know if you realize he's also a youth pastor at Eagles Landing Baptist Church in Atlanta. He's been working with students for decades and also traveling the country with Casting Crowns. But he was saying just a few minutes ago, it's interesting because parents will say, well, I don't want to push my kid to go to church, and I don't want to push him away. I don't want him to rebel. And it's funny that we're having the conversation still in church. Us shepherding our kids and getting our kids involved in community in church isn't necessarily going to push them away. It's the rules, the regulation, the legalism that might drive some of those things, but the relationship is what ties that together. We're going to have a conversation about it. I'm going to tell you a few thoughts. Maybe we'll share a few ideas on how to respond to your kids when they say they don't want to be involved in church, or I just don't know if I believe that, Dad. You know what? Share where you've been. Yeah. When I was 14, I didn't know that I believed that either. Or maybe I have some doubts right now, but here's where they are. But what I'm trying to do is learn about God and grow closer to Him. And I'm never going to hear anything about God in public school or at Eastern Michigan University, where I went to college. You know, that's not the place where they're teaching about Jesus and faith. But you know what? If I want to experience God, I've got to do that in the context of community. And I've also got to learn about God, dig into His Word. But then worshiping with others and growing with others and having some accountability. So I want to hear your thoughts. If you've had the success in breaking through with that and had some meaningful conversations with your kids, didn't want to go to church, and things shifted around over time, I'd love to hear from you. You can share with the rest of us. 702-732-9102. We'll have a conversation about that next. So how do you respond when your kid says, I don't want to go to church, I'm not interested in church, I don't even know if I believe what you believe, Dad? I'm Scott on SOS Radio. Eugene Peterson reminds us that in a season like that, we're actually invited to become more honest with our own faith when we're talking about our kids in response to their pushback. He talks about how no parent's actually required to mount an advertising campaign on behalf of God, rather than talking up how great God is or how awesome it is to be a Christian. Let's actually live out our faith journey honestly in front of our kids and alongside our family. You know, this fits squarely within our Sticky Faith research findings. He says that young people with parents who share their own faith journeys tend to stick with their faith after high school. And he said, you know what, when your kids resist attending church, you just gotta be real honest about where you are in your faith and who you were in the past, where God stepped in, and how that changed your heart. Because there's the head knowledge and there's the heart knowledge, and you can address that. But Eugene Peterson said, I remember having those feelings myself. In fact, I still have them from time to time. The only trouble, though, with staying away from church at a time like this when I'm struggling is there's no way to continue the conversation with others involved on the other side of that, with the other ideas and practices that obviously matter a great deal. But for the first time in your life, you're beginning to think and feel as an adult. This is why you're talking to your teenagers. He's saying many of the things that you're finding distasteful and what you're experiencing as a child in the church that you don't like, well, wouldn't it be more reasonable for you to take your thinking and your feelings into this sanctuary of the church each Sunday, and for the next few years, just test that there? Talk to people. Ask other mature Christians who have walked through the trials and the tragedies and the peer pressure of life, and speak to them about how their faith plays a role in that. Because you've got a body, you've got a mind, and you've got a spirit. And when you're going to college or when you're going to high school, they're just speaking about your body and your mind. They're not speaking into your spiritual. And you need a place where you have an outlet to that, to test that against your childhood memories, against the peer pressure, against the relationships you're in, against the temptation temptations you're facing. You've got to have some sort of outlet, and the church needs your version and your experience, because maybe you're the one that's going to shepherd other people later. That's why we go to church, even when we're not feeling it, because we're doing it for God, and we're doing it in our quest to learn. I love that we can just have honest discussions, and we can just be real with where we're at and where all of our struggles are. I always invite you to be a part of the conversation, whether you agree with what we're talking about or maybe you don't. You're welcome here. That's Swiss Radio.
So about your conversation, getting the kids to church, I have one preteen. And because we talk about our problems all the time and how we deal with them, we go to the Bible. When it comes time for church, we talk about that's how we get renewed. It's that fellowship that renews us, because we don't get it anywhere else at work or, you know, at the store, any of the places that we go out in public. That renewal is important.
And I think a lot of times we forget that we're called to be the spiritual leaders in our family, and we're not accountable to our kids as much as we're accountable to God, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we deal with that with the young ones, too. We have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old also. And, I don't want to go to church. And it's like, well, we're going.
Yeah, and being a spiritual leader is being a shepherd. It's shepherding our kids' hearts.
Well, when I was in 8th grade, I was a church kid. So got saved when I was 9. I think for me, church was just one of the things that we did in our life. We did baseball on Monday and Tuesday. We did something else on Saturday, and church is the thing we did on Sunday. And for a long time, Jesus was a place you went and not a person that you could know. So I was probably 19 before I really started realizing Jesus was bigger than church. So I was just that kid going to church when I was in 8th grade.
So you work with students full-time now when you're not on the road as well over Eagles Landing Baptist Church outside the Atlanta area. But you mentioned, you know, you were raised in church, and that was just something that you did. You know, I hear a lot of parents these days saying, like, oh, well, I don't want to force my kids into church. I want to let them make their own decisions, you know.
Yeah.
As a youth pastor, speak into the way you look at that and where you see the importance of the roles that parents do play, you know, with their teenagers.
The odd thing is I'll have a parent talking to me in church saying, you know, I don't want to force my kid. My parents forced me to come, and it made me not want to go. And I said, well, you know, the weird thing is that we're standing in church right now talking about this. So maybe you didn't like it for a while, but somehow it looks like it might have paid off. And I have so many parents say to me, you know, could you just talk to Billy and get him to come? He just won't come, and I just don't know how to get him to be there. And I just tell them, put him in the car. You're the only one fighting for this kid, and it's got to come from you. But the problem is, I think as parents, we aren't consistent enough in our own walk with Jesus to feel like we have the authority to tell them they should be there. So to step up and say, this is where we should be on Sunday, we need to be together with the body of Christ, it means we got to get out of bed. We got to get up and get there too. So I think it's a struggle in both sides, but I think it's definitely worth a fight. I tell our parents, you get them here and I'll make it worth the came. And it's got to be a partnership.
Mark Hall from Casting Crowns is joining us today on SOS Radio. And we were just talking a couple of minutes ago about parenting strategies. And Mark, you've been a youth pastor and author for a long time, but you brought up the challenge of stepping out as a parent to fully take authority over our families. And Mark, that's a term we're seeing a lot more of in today's culture. But what does it actually mean to take authority and maybe even create a vision for your family?
In average, when you start looking at families today, a lot of the kids aren't in the same house each week. A lot of times, parents were so hurting by guilt, it sort of has taken our right away to say, this is how you should live, because we feel like they're looking at us going, yeah, but you didn't do it. And because of our past and because of problems that we're having to walk through, we feel like we don't have the right to tell them what they should do or not do. And that's a struggle. I think we've got to go back to knowing, look, I've made my mistakes, we're walking through it, but this is still right. And we still have to do this. I think a lot of times also you have a parent who's a believer who wants her kid in church, but the other parent that's in the other home doesn't have the same values, doesn't have the same morals. So the battle they fight is, I'm giving them Jesus this week, but they're not going to get Jesus next week. And especially if you're in a situation where the dad or the mom who's not a believer feels guilt, and they're like, well, I'm just going to let them do whatever they want to do to make up for the mistakes I've made, so there's not boundaries in the other home. It's a mess in the American family right now. The idea of authority has got to come from God's word and knowing that this is right, not have I earned the right to tell you this or not.
That is a powerful thought. So where have you seen that work in some of those split family relationships?
Bro, it is tough. I'm talking to a dad last night in my youth group back at home. I'm home Sunday through Wednesday and just sitting down with families in the office. And one of our guys said, look, my son, when he's with us, he gets structure. We get in the Word together. But when he gets home, his mom's going to let him watch whatever he wants, go wherever he wants, do whatever he wants. And to me, that's not one of those, here's the answer to everybody's problem on that. But it is at least sitting down with the other parent, if it's at all possible, and going, look, we got to have some boundaries at least across the board on what they're allowed to watch and click on, what their technology is and that stuff. And then hopefully pray into the fact of saying, hey, can we just all be in church? Is there a way you can let them go to church when they're with you? And then when they're with me, they can go to the same church to give some sort of constant. But a kid can become a pawn very easily in a battle between two hurting parents.
It seems like it does go deeper than just rules and just structure, but to a true renewing of the mind, which I guess goes deeper than just teaching your kid how to think or what to think.
Definitely. I want my son's heart to be so close to Jesus, he would never trip up and step into anything that would hurt him. But at the same time, I got to understand, you don't put a good kid in a bad situation. So I've got to have the standard for him. I've got to have some guardrails in his life, and that's going to look like rules, and it's going to look like do's and don'ts, because that's just life. But on the same time, I want his heart to understand why the rules are there and why we try to stay away from these things, why we build fences around things and stay away from things that could lead us in a bad direction. It's got to be the rule and the grace, the law and the grace together to make it work.
You know, we try so hard to shepherd our child's heart towards God. They still say, you know, I don't want to go to church. I'm Scott Harrell on SOS Radio. I'm just curious how you've learned to address that over the years. 702-732-9102. I think it starts with remembering that I serve God before I serve my children. And a lot of times, we recognize that our kids are smart. I don't know about yours. Mine play lawyer with me, and they start, like, putting me in webs of weight. And you're kind of right on some of the points you're making. But you know what? I realize, you know, I may have a child that has a higher IQ than I am. But you know what? That doesn't change things that God's put us in authority as the spiritual leaders of our home, and that we're called to lead our children towards him. And you know what? My child might be really smart, but you know what my child doesn't have? The experience and the maturity to know what to do with the brains that they have inside them yet. And you know what? There's another part of developing a child, and it's the spiritual. There's a mind, there's a body. Yeah, our kids think they've got all that figured out, but then there's the soul, the spirit. And you know what? The Spirit of God is a whole other thing when you have the Holy Spirit inside you, right? And so we want to shepherd our child that way. You know, I can't make decisions for my child, but I'm going to do everything that I can do to live out my faith and lead my children towards a relationship with Jesus, because it's not the rules that lead our kids. It's actually the relationship. And living life as a Jesus follower is actually growing to become more and more like him. And as I navigate our school and our jobs and our friendship, I can share where I'm at. I can share with my struggles. I can share what I've been learning and how I'm growing to have Jesus live life through me, how I'm on that quest to get to know his heart in a deeper way. That's what I shepherd towards my kids. We're talking about what our kids say, I don't want to go to church, and you just kind of have that tension, realize how much do I push, how much do I not, but then what's my role as the parent? What am I called to do? I'm Scott on SOS Radio.
My oldest son and I got into, this was years ago, but we got into this big discussion. I don't want to go to church. My friends at school don't want to go to church. How do I have to go? And I had thought about it, and I'm like, we had the same discussion with other things of, you're the meanest mom there is. How come my friends get to do this and I don't? And I finally said, you know what? You have to understand something. One of these days, when you said a while ago, accountability, it reminded me to it. I said, one of these days, I'm going to go before God, and he's going to ask me, why didn't I do this, and why didn't I do that, and why didn't I teach Carl this, and why didn't I teach that? And I said, I'm not perfect. Maybe there's other parents that are, but I'm the one that you have, and I can only do the best that I can do. But I am not going to go before God and say, well, I let him do what he wanted to because he wanted to. That's just not going to happen. And a few years after we had that discussion, he was about 14, and he made a mess on the carpet at church, and he did it. I mean, there was nothing else about it. And his dad was like, oh, we got to clean this up. And I said, oh, my gosh, you know, it had to be cleaned up. And he looked at me, and he said, Mom, you don't get it. And I went, what don't I get? He said, this is my church, too. And I went, I just stood there and looked at him, and I went, yes, yes, it worked. He got it. So, hanging tough, sometimes it seems like it's hard to do, but they get it. Sometime or another, it hits home, and it becomes theirs. And that ownership and that church and that relationship with Jesus, that's what it's all about.
We're talking to Mark Hall from Casting Crowns on SOS Radio. And you said community is a discipline. You know, we were just talking about raising our kids and we're trying to give them structure. And, you know, we're trying to lead them towards Christ, but there's a renewing of the mind that goes in. Talk about where you see community bringing a lot of that together.
I think community is so much more than sitting in a bunch of rows facing in one direction singing songs. Community is getting to know each other. For some reason, the church somehow over the years has come up with this idea that being a good witness to the world is acting like you don't have any problems. So everybody dresses up their life just like they dress up their bodies, and everybody acts like, hey, everything's great. I don't have any problems or struggles. All you're coming to is a building that sits together for an hour. I don't believe that's community. Community is a group of believers who know each other's stuff, and we know that, hey, it's a mess at my house, but Jesus lives in this mess. Let's pray through this together. So for us, we have a great worship service, and Crowns leads the worship and helps do all that. But the community happens in those life groups and those home groups, and where you can really tear the plastic off and talk about life. And that's what community is to me.
In your book, Thrive, there's a whole chapter on the gift. You mentioned worship deepens our community with God and with fellow believers.
Well, see, that to me, worship is praying without asking for stuff, right? How often do I do that? Not very often. I had a preacher challenge me to do that once, and I was like 20. He goes, I want you to pray tonight and don't ask one question. Don't ask for anything. Just pray. Just be thankful. And, I couldn't go 15 seconds without asking for forgiveness or help or stuff or anything. And so worship is a chance to do that. And worship also reminds us that, man, this is a conversation. There's a person listening. I'm not reciting my life to you. I'm talking to my dad here who loves me right back. So worship's huge, man. And when you do it in a community with a group, there's a fellowship that comes together. Music on its own can bring people together. You see a bunch of drunks get together out in a concert and have a moment. But when Jesus is in the center of it, man, it's something special that you can't do without. God knows that we needed each other.
You're good to go. Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store. The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.